Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 25th of August. I don't know how we ended up here either. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you are here. And part of the reason I'm glad you're here is because we have a very interesting topic today. We're going to talk about sort of a different assessment of what's going on with the whole Apple Fortnite thing.
Yeah, so Apple versus Epic Games continues to kind of escalate the row, really. And Andrew has written up the latest developments today over on the macobserver.com. So we're both trying to keep on top of all the different things that are happening, but it's very fast changing, as you'll see from Andrew's stories today. It keeps escalating. Mm-hmm. But it's got lots of other publishers and people who publish stuff through the App Store model and in-app purchases, thinking, well, what does this mean for us? And one of the most pertinent places, most pertinent industries that this might apply to is, of course, the news industry. Mm-hmm. And there's a really interesting piece that you actually texted me from Neiman Lab, written by a guy called Joshua Benton over on the Neiman Lab website. And it looks at the implications of the case for the news publishing industry. And there was we were chatting before about this article, and a couple of things jumped out to both of us, and it was interesting. We both kind of picked up on different elements. So the argument made in this piece is basically there'll be a ripple effect if Epic wins, and the ripples will reach the news industry. And for example, that might mean pulling the name out of the air. The New York Times says, oh, instead of just offering one price fits all subscription through in-app purchase on your iPhone, we're actually going to have our own kind of app store, in inverted commas, and we can offer you different offers, which may make it more likely that you sign up. Because, of course, if you go to the New York Times website, you have, and then far from the only newspaper or news outlet that does this, there's lots of them do it. They can target an offer at you. They can say, if you sign up in summer sale, 30% off if you sign up in the next 3 weeks, whatever. There's all different things that news publishers do to get you in. And they can't do that through Apple's in-app purchase system. But if Epic wins and they're allowed to have their own app store, and news publishers then go, oh, I would like to do that, that might be a thing that happens or that we see. And of course, the ripple effect of that then goes to, I would argue, News Plus. Because at that point, what is in it for a publisher being on News Plus?
Right.
It and becomes a less and less compelling offer. We already saw for example, again, the New York Times left Apple News, not the Plus service, just the news service, because it didn't want, you can't see any New York Times stories on the news app, because it said we want to present our content in our way and guide readers to sign up. So it may be the more publishers decide to do that and take a bit more control of how they present their stories and their journalism and how you can subscribe to it and so on.
Yeah, and I think part of this is really interesting because this changes iOS kind of on a molecular level. Like, this is like most people probably don't even remember iOS without an app store because it was only the first year.
That of course is the point of the Epic case. They want to change it on a fundamental level.
Exactly. So if Apple were to lose this case, that would be it. And I'm not saying one way or another. Like, I just am curious where this is going to go. I when we talked about it before on the show, I don't have a dog in this fight. Like, it doesn't matter to me in any way if Fortnite is on the App Store or not, which is where this all sort of started. There are other companies out there who have tried to do different things. There's a reason that bundles, for example, are an App Store option where, you can get like all three of the apps for a little bit less, and you get credited the price of the one that you did buy if you want to pick up the other two. You know, you save a little money that way. There's a reason that they do that, and part of that reason is because it was a concession to upgrade pricing as other companies tried to find ways around being able to do that effectively. And it's because there's only one price raise. So there's only the price that there can be in the App Store at the end. And so it doesn't really matter how many articles you read on the Wall Street Journal's app a month, or, you know, the New York Times website on your phone. If you try to use the app on your phone, it's going to say the price is this. And that's it.
Yeah.
The end.
And it's, look, if we're being blunt about it, it's a very Apple approach. This is the shiny thing. This is the price of the shiny thing. These are the things the shiny things do. And mm-hmm. we don't want you to mess around or break the shiny thing.
Yeah.
It's a very Apple approach to things.
Yeah.
And it's taking the approach it takes to hardware to software. And there's lots of advantages that we've discussed lots of times in lots of different ways for the apps that has the benefits that has for users.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've also, for more confident or pro or high-end users, whatever way you want to do it, sometimes that lack of adaptability is annoying for them. Fine. Mm-hmm. There's a reason Hackintoshes exist, and so on and so forth.
That's correct.
But we're obviously in an age where people are expecting more choice and flexibility. Mm-hmm. Apple is becoming slightly more accommodating to that, in the sense that it, you know, the Viacom CBS, the CBS bundle, where you get CBS All Access and Showtime,
yeah,
plus TV Plus for a set price,
yeah.
You know, that's a very molecular bundle. Not everyone will have that. It changes the options, Apple TV options you have, Kelly, in the US, to the options I have, me, in the UK, for example.
Right.
So there's all sorts of things going on there. But yeah, it's people think the Epic versus Apple case is just I was going to say battle, but you can't really say that when you're talking about Fortnite, can you? But it's easy to just think it's just about the App Store. It's just about paying 15 or 30%. Yeah. And it's just about a games company being annoyed that they have to pay this money to a platform that they're on.
Right. And on its surface, actually, it does sound a little bit like Epic being petty, because it just sounds like Apple saying, it sounds like Epic is saying, we want all the money. None of it should go to you. Wham. Like, if you just sort of glance at it on its face, that's all you see.
Yeah. And look, we know that Apple does make certain deals. There's also, like, the way, for example, Amazon operates on iOS is a bit different, because Apple realized that, hey, it's Amazon, we have to compromise a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can purchase stuff on Amazon in the app.
Yes.
But you cannot buy audiobooks on Audible, for example, directly on the Audible app. You have to do that
credit
via the website.
Yeah.
And I've always assumed that that is all part of this kind of messy compromise the two companies have.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is changing. Apple does make concessions, but mm-hmm. when you start having a game, like Amazon is one thing.
Right.
Epic Games is another. And then suddenly a whole load of news publishers saying, hey, mm-hmm. you did this for them.
Yeah. Well,
hi.
You know, I was thinking about this, and I was trying to figure out, like, what other relationships Apple has, like, in broad strokes. So we have developers who make apps. That's one relationship. Everything in the App Store.
But yeah, and let's be clear, because the narrative has changed as this case and other cases have gone on, and mm-hmm. Antitrust rows have gone on. For huge swathes of people, the App Store and the App Store model has given to independent and smaller developers opportunities they would not have had otherwise.
Yes.
And we shouldn't dismiss that. And Apple, you know, in the antitrust hearing, made a big point about it, and mm-hmm. there's been press releases about it, and it is not something to be considered lightly and dismissed.
Right. Absolutely.
But I also understand, and Apple could say, do you know what, we try and treat everyone the same, never mind if you're Epic Games or an indie developer who made a really cool game that some people like.
Yeah. And I understand trying to do that, but like, I was just sort of thinking about what relationships Apple has, and there's the relationships they have with developers. There's the relationships they have with news publishers. I assume there's some sort of relationship with book publishers, because there is still... everybody remember Apple has a bookstore and they sell books there?
Again, which I assume adds to the slightly messy relationship with Amazon.
Of course. And then there's music and movies. So Apple sells music, Apple streams music. There's some relationship happening there. And there's some sort of relationship with the movie folks.
Spotify.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's whatever the music and movie studio relationships are. I haven't kept track of that in a while, honestly, but I know some of them are the same. I know, you know, Sony makes movies, but Sony's also part of a music label. So when we were looking at this, that was part of what I was wondering was, suppose this changes Epic's relationship or developers' relationship with Apple, then how is that going to ripple out into the other things, starting with news, but additionally, how is it going to ripple out to those other things? Because I know you mentioned their fight with Spotify, but also the last thing I remember seeing about Apple Music was that artists were sort of not complaining about what they were getting from Apple as far as streaming anyway, because it was better than they were getting from anybody else.
Yeah, Apple has traditionally been a little bit more generous in that sense, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I was wondering, you know, if this Epic thing ripples out to news publishers, then how much further out does it, you know, how much further do those ripples go? Because it would be interesting to see how this changes everybody's relationship. Because if they end up having to work with Epic, then what else?
Yeah, this is interesting. So, you know, I just looked on the Kindle app on my phone. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't, as far as I can tell, and maybe someone in the comments can correct me if I'm wrong, on the Kindle app, mm-hmm. as with the Audible app, you can read your content, you can consume the content. But as far as I can tell, you cannot buy a book on Kindle. But if I got the Kindle Paperwhite that's in the other room down,
yes,
I can buy a book directly on it.
I believe so. Well, I know you can buy one on your Kindle. I've done it.
Yeah, you can. And even weirder, if you go to the main Amazon app, mm-hmm. I can buy the same book, a Kindle version of the book, an yes. audio version of the book via Audible, mm-hmm. And you can do that directly.
Yeah, it even says, at least for me in the US, when I look at a book in the Kindle app, it says, this app does not support purchasing. Books purchased from Amazon are available to read in the Kindle app. That's what it tells me.
Right, but Apple has, in its way, allowed Amazon to have its own store, because the Amazon app, you can buy stuff.
Yep.
So, and all of this will come into the conversation, I'm sure, around Epic and Fortnite. And as we say, it will ripple into things like the news media. So it's look, the Fortnite case, it sounds like it's just a bit of fun, and Fortnite being, you know, using Fortnite as a bit of a way to bash Apple with the event that we had on Sunday and so on. And, you know, they made baseball caps of like, mocking the Apple logo and all of that kind of thing.
Yes.
And like there is all that going on. But actually, as you say, I think your description of the possibility of changing it at a molecular level, I think is a really good description, because it is something very worth being aware of.
Mm-hmm. And I think because that's part of why I have been interested in this, part of why we continue to talk about it on the show, is because specifically it's a thing that could end up with much further reaching effects than, you know, anybody looking at it sort of, you know, from a 10,000 foot view, right? Might actually look at, you know, like we said, like it just sort of sounds like Epic's being petty because they're a $1 billion company and they want to be a $1 trillion company too. And that's where we are.
And they have the power and the clout to do it, and they don't have to play nice because they'll play. People will always play Fortnite and whatever else.
Yeah, and that's a thing I've sort of wondered about with this because, you know, as I said, I don't really play Fortnite, but I wonder how much of that is people going, oh, well, I wanted to play on my iPad or on my phone or whatever, and now I can't, so I'm just going to play it on the other thing where I also play Fortnite. I wonder how many people have it on multiple devices, so it's not like this would be necessarily any sort of great tragedy for Epic. Like, I honestly don't know. So that's probably a thing we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm sure Epic went into the fight knowing that they would probably be okay. They'd have been pretty daft not to know that their bases were covered somewhat.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, Epic makes other things besides Fortnite. That just happens to be the one that gets a lot of attention on iOS. So I know that part for sure. Anyway, it's a very popular game.
And it was a big deal when it was a big deal when it first came to iOS as well.
Right. And you know, I think another part of this is that it, you know, again, on its face to a casual observer, sounds a little bit like this is more Apple not caring about gaming again, you know, or caring in the wrong ways because, you know, this is gaming and they're sort of not backing down, you know. And if it had been the New York Times that came out with this kind of campaign, then maybe it would have ended differently. You know, I don't know. So hard to say.
Well, what we'll wait to see is if something like the New York Times or another publication joins in. That would be what's interesting.
That's really what I want to see is if Epic ends up out there kind of alone in the wilderness, or if they're joined by other people, you know. And I wonder who that might be. Like, is it going to be, you know, generally more game people? Like, is Angry Birds going to, the people who make Angry Birds going to be like, is it Rovio, I think? You know, are they going to be upset that Apple took 30% from them for all those years? Or whoever makes Candy Crush, who I'm absolutely not going to remember the name of, you know, places like that. Like, the stuff that has been really popular specifically on iOS that may not have necessarily been anywhere else or at least started on iOS, you know, is that going to be who joins, or is it going to be somebody like the New York Times or, you know, a publisher who's like, yeah, you know, this ebook thing isn't working for us. You know, let's see how we can do this differently.
Yeah, it's all going to be very worth watching. That's why we're kind of fascinated by this case.
Exactly. And so Charlotte has an in-depth piece about that you will be able to read over at macobserver.com. We will have links to the other things we have mentioned in the show notes, but that's going to do it for us today. So Charlotte, as always, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad you're here. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.